today on Family Talk.
Well, welcome everybody to Family Talk. It's always good to have you with us. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and today we're going to bring you a program featuring Dr. Tim Clinton, my good friend, and our fellow guest host here on Family Talk. Dr. Clinton is the president of the nearly 50,000-member American Association of Christian Counselors, AACC. He's also a professor of counseling and pastoral care and the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. He's recognized as a world leader in faith and mental health issues. He's authored more than 20 books, including his latest, Breakthrough, When to Give In, When to Push Back. Dr. Clinton is also a host of a daily radio program called Life, Love, and Family. He interviewed psychologist Dr. Greg Jantz about the effects and dangers of technology. Dr. Jantz is a state-licensed chemical dependency counselor. This man knows what he's talking about. And he's a licensed mental health counselor. He's also an international speaker and a best-selling author of 35 books. Dr. Jantz has appeared on CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS. He's been interviewed for the New York Post, the Associated Press, Family Circle, and Women's Day. He's also a regular contributor to Psychology Today blogs. And in 1984, he founded The Center, a place of hope in Edmonds, Washington. And for over 30 years, he's helped people find emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. I read that whole paragraph because you do need to know the scope of this man's qualifications to answer the questions that were being asked of him. Their conversation about technology will help you identify potential dangerous situations around you and your family. This is highly relevant to your children. So let's hear it now on today's edition of Family Talk.
As we get started, Greg, technology, it's just absolutely taken over the world. And in a lot of ways, it's taken over our lives. I was on a trip not long ago, and I was in the airport making my way to the gate. And I went and sat down at the gate in Atlanta, okay? And as I sat down, I looked at my phone for a minute, and I was exhausted. And it was packed. The entire gate was packed. So I lifted my head, looked around for a minute, and it just dawned on me. Every person at the gate had their head down, probably 30-plus individuals, and they were young and right up to grandma and grandpa. Every person was on their phone. Not one person was looking up. No one. What's happening to us?
We live in a digital age, and if you have kids that were born in early 90s, they're part of what we call the I generation. But now that's invaded. It's like you said, grandma and grandpa, they're on it too. And what happens is this digital technology that is invaded, it's no longer just the cell phone. We're carrying around smartphones, and there's some dangers about where that can take us.
Kids and teenagers ages 12 to 18 are spending nearly 2 hours a day texting alone. In addition, adolescents ages 11 to 18 spend more than 11 hours per day in front of a screen.
Yes, the range tends to be about 11 to 14 hours.
Come on.
And you think, how can they even do that? And you know, that's why some kids are even sleeping with their devices, which we'll talk about.
What kind of effects do you think this is starting to have on us, seriously?
We're starting to see, and there's actually some good science now and research that's showing us the overstimulation of the brain as we're developing and growing up. And for guys, that's your brain is still developing to about age 25. So the overstimulation of the brain, very simply, eventually can create what we call a craving brain. Your brain wants more and more. And so it can be, you know, we develop low impulse control because we're used to having everything instantly. And so we act very impulsive and we act very entitled. Our kids are entitled. What happens is that craving brain wants more and more, which really what we're describing is an addicted brain and a depressed brain. Ever thought about technology as contributing to depression?
Maybe a family conversation would be like this. You're obsessed with your phone. You're constantly on it. You never pay any attention to us. Is that happening in your family if you're out there listening? Think of dinner. And same thing. Look around this restaurant right now. Look at what's going on in here. We're having dinner. We're in a public place. And people are on their phones everywhere in the restaurant.
We did a personal experiment in our home. I said, okay, we're going to gather up everything that has a screen on it. And we're going to put them all on the kitchen table. Among us, there's four of us in our family, we actually collected 18 different devices with screens, you know, the old Game Boys, not that we were using them all. And what impact was that having in our family, in our own home? So we have a rule, and part of it is when you're with somebody, you be with them. You're not texting. Because you've ever been out to lunch with somebody and they're on their device the whole time and you're trying to have a conversation.
Makes you crazy.
And they look up at you and they go, what'd you say?
Oh.
Because technology can create partial attention because you're always partially distracted. And so we have adults that look like they have attention deficit issues because of this partial attention to everything.
Yeah, this overwhelming stimulus that's going on. Dr. Jantz, you and I are both going to say it's not technology. Technology in and of itself isn't bad.
Right.
It's our management of that technology. It's what we're doing with that. Let's stay with the negative effects for a moment. I wrote down a couple of them, and I certainly want to hear from you and your thoughts on it. You're the expert in this area. Most believe that technology has really adversely affected family time.
Yes.
It's like dinner is gone, or we're around the dinner table, and everybody's on their phone.
Right.
What are you seeing in terms of its effect on the family?
We created a family technology agreement. And part of our agreement is when we're at the dinner table or breakfast together, we don't use our devices. Maybe you want to show a family member something. Sure, but we're not on our devices communicating with other people, using it as a distraction, because it can rob us of valuable family time. And it's very subtle. It's sneaky how it happens because it looks fairly innocent. But our kids are struggling these days on how to have what I'll call real relationships. Our kids today are growing up in two adolescents, real adolescents looking in real life, but there's a digital adolescence. What they're presenting online a lot of times is different than reality. And they're living in two different adolescents.
Almost like two different worlds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's affecting family time. It's also then affecting our relational skills, is what I'm hearing you say. We're starting to struggle to connect at an emotional one-on-one level. Our conversations are disappearing. We think we're talking to each other because we're sending a text message. I want to say this too. I actually enjoy texting my kids, believe it or not.
Oh, yes.
I try to every morning send an encouraging thought, to share scripture with them, to let them know that dad loves them, that dad's praying for them. It's just something that they can look back to throughout the day.
Yes.
Here's my word from dad. And so there's the plus side. But the downside is, if that's all you're doing, and you're not hanging out anymore with your kids, you're not connecting with them, you're not making eye-to-eye contact.
Right.
I'm talking about these two that are in our head, and we're looking at each other, and we're really engaged. We're not preoccupied. We're not, you know, disengaged. We're literally present. Our relationship skills are starting to suffer.
Well, they are. And what you did was, I call it value added. You use the technology because you already have the relationship. And you're adding value to the relationship by using the technology. That's awesome. But so often our kids, they're texting with people they hardly know, and they're feeling like intimate with them. So technology can bypass the normal relationship stages, but you have not developed a relationship with that person. So this can be dangerous.
I know our friend Dr. Archibald Hart talks about the importance of sleep. And some say that technology has really brought an infringement on our kids, because truly, if they're having their phones at night, they're usually having them on close to them. And typically when the lights are out, they're going back to and texting and going into the wee hours of the night, affecting them.
All right. No screens in the bedroom. That's a rule. No screens in the bedroom. You don't sleep with your cell phones. Tim, one of the things I wanted to share with you to let you know how important this is that kids are on social media 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. That's the most popular time.
You know, I believe that.
They call these vampers. They're vamping. For 12 to 17 year olds, this is the most active time online. Can you believe that? They're supposed to be sleeping 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. So don't let our kids have their devices in their bedrooms.
Yeah, so it's affecting just the simple, most significant things in sleep. Our life, like sleep.
Yes.
And teenagers, by the way, need more sleep than children do.
So rule number one is devices, screens do not go into the bedrooms. So what are your technology boundaries?
Wow. Let me stay with the effects. Okay. Let me stay with the effects, Greg, because this is important.
Yes.
I put down the other negative effect here is the increase of exposure to values or, well, hey, pornography. What is it? 90% of 8 to 16-year-old kids have viewed online porn. Most of them, by the way, not intentionally.
Right.
Accidentally exposed to it, especially our younger children.
Yes.
And so here's this whole world now just flooding.
Right.
Their young brains.
The average age to exposure to pornography on the internet now is about age 9. It used to be 10. So the 9-year-old being exposed to pornography, this is why we have young boys in middle school, high school that are regular consumers of pornography. Remember, one of the highest age groups, again, we're back to the 12 to about 17-year-old. That's a high usage of pornography. Well, they're creating really early on, potentially serious sexual addiction early on.
Mom and Dad, you need to hear this because this pornography explosion, this online porn industry is really robbing our sons and our daughters of relationship capacity and confusing them in this whole sexual world.
Absolutely.
And they are living in this. It's like a cesspool. When most mom and dad, oh no, we have filters. Our kids don't do that. That preferred digital device, that cell phone that they have, they've got access to stuff you couldn't even imagine they have access to. I had a dad recently, great Christian family. This boy's 12 years old, and he showed me the sites that he's been visiting and the text messaging that he's been doing. This kid's going to a Christian school,
yes.
And it's like, Tim, this is my boy.
Yes.
This is what's happening to my boy. And if we don't get this under control, can you imagine the effect of this on his relationships when he's trying to fall in love and choose who he's going to marry? Some are saying the tsunami effect of what's taking place with our 12 to 17-year-old boys is coming, and we have no idea the outcome on how it's going to affect their ability to love God and to be in love with their spouse and be a great dad.
Absolutely. And, you know, pornography is one piece of that, but just a general technology addiction where they're not building healthy relationships is the other piece.
With that pornography thing, and I think we should really take this serious, just think of the messaging that's coming into your child's world just for a second on what love and marriage should be like. Think about the messaging that they're getting on priorities in their life. Think about the messaging they're getting on sexuality.
Right.
Think about the messaging they're getting about God. Most of it, the overwhelming majority of it, is not coming from a Christian perspective.
Correct. Correct.
And so
yes.
That's coming into the bedroom of your child's world.
And that's why we need to talk about it. Sometimes parents don't talk about this because they feel like the kids are so far ahead of them on technology. You know, it's like if you can't figure out something, probably your kid has already grabbed the device out of your hand and they've fixed whatever you're trying to, because they're so far ahead of us. And we tend then not to talk about it. Parents who have 5 and 6 years old, and they're giving them, you know, cell phones and they don't even have the password that their kid is using. So, you know, some basics that we need to be aware of.
What are we going to do to turn our hearts back toward each other and break free? Number one, I wrote down in my notes, and Dr. Jansen, I know you've got some amazing work to help families break free from this, quote, technology addiction piece. But somewhere we've got to say, hey, we've got a problem.
We got to look at it and go, going on here?
We've got an issue here.
Yes.
Let's be honest. We all appreciate our phones. We love being in close contact with one another. We understand the value of technology, but we've got a problem.
Correct. And then how are we going to address that problem as a family? And so make it all about the whole family. Don't make it about that the phones are bad or technology's bad or your kids are bad because they're on it all the time. Let's look at this as a family issue.
Greg, that could be tough, though, for some families where there really is the disconnect. We're not talking together. We're not emotionally close. We're not pressing in. As a matter of fact, we feel like we're on islands, different islands. Mm-hmm. And how do you bring everybody back and say, listen, let's talk together as mom, dad, together as family? Because family's priority. The truth is, most research shows that kids still, the number one thing that still makes kids happy, it's a great relationship with mom and her dad.
Absolutely.
They want to be connected to you, mom. They want to be connected to you, dad. Yeah, they may think you are a little out of touch or something, depending on where they're at through their teen years, but they want to know that you're there for them and that you love them.
So here's something you can do. One thing that we do is we have one night a week, we have technology dinner. I know it sounds funny, and I use it to gather information about what are the apps your friends are doing and what are the things you guys are doing, what are your favorite games, what's new, what's happening.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sure.
So one night, they can talk at dinner table. That's
so we're doing
talk.
Tech. This is tech night.
Yeah, it's tech night. So tell
that's
me.
That's pretty cool.
And so we'll talk about it, but we want to enter into their world. Once we've entered into their world, we've shown some interest. And again, I have an eighth grader and a senior in high school, and my eighth grader is trying to explain something to me that I don't get it anyway. But the fact is, he's sharing with me. I'm doing my best to be interested, but it's a point of connection. Then once we have that connection with them and we've entered into their world a little bit, then we can start to reestablish boundaries around technology. But we've got to show an interest in them first.
That which you can't fast from owns you.
Sure.
And if we are going to be moving in a healthy direction, we have to admit we've got a problem, and we've got to figure out how we're going to fast from or give ourselves a technology-free zone or time period in our life, right?
Right, and here's what to do. You can do a little experiment with this. Something that we've done. We have a technology detox day. In our home, we usually pick a Sunday, and for us, it's about once a month. It's our technology detox. And so that's the day you do not carry your device with you. And we are purposely detoxing as a family. We have a little fun with it. But we make sure that we're doing some kind of a physical activity. What we did recently is we left all our devices behind and we went after church. We went for a pretty good hike up to a little lake. It was technology detox day. We have to do something physical as a family together.
Nice. Part of what you could do, too, just to help make that happen, is get into places where the cell phone doesn't work.
That'll do
it,
too.
Get up into the mountains.
Yeah.
Well, we have the peaks of Otter very close to where we are. You get up there, phones don't work up there.
There you go.
You get up there, though, and you know what? It's interesting. The connectivity comes back. It's fun. You're out throwing a football. You're picking up rocks and throwing them down the stream. You're sitting on a bridge taking pictures of each other. You're talking about things that
you're gonna
maybe
you
missed that
week. You're
going to
do things you wouldn't normally do, and talk about things you wouldn't normally talk about.
So admit you got a problem. Control your use. Everybody gets this. The manage your life piece, meaning be more intentional about the things that do matter. There's some research out there about dinner, for example.
Yes.
How significant it is, especially even with teens. Mom and dad, you need to hear this. What they found was dinner matters in families, mm-hmm. especially with our children. Actually, the more you had dinner together with your teen, the better the outcome, the more healthy they tended to be. And what was fascinating about it wasn't that there was like 2 times a week or 3 times a week. No, the research showed that there was no drop-off effect. In other words, the more you ate dinner together, it doesn't have to be at home specifically, around the table, doing a certain thing, but coming together as a family, and let's say we're fasting for a moment from technology, we're actually participating in one another's lives. As we do that, there's this dynamic that takes place that makes it beautiful, the interaction, the stories, the lessons, the love, the I'm valuable, you're valuable because we're present together. Power of that is stunning.
Yes.
The more we ate dinner together, the more healthy the child was. The danger in all this, it's like in business. We often say that when you're running a business, the greatest challenge you have is managing your schedule. What usually is the greatest threat to it is other people want to intrude on your schedule.
Sure.
Other people then dictate your schedule.
Right.
In other words, we have lanes in our life. We've got to give attention to all these lanes. And if you don't give attention to all those lanes, one or two of them are going to go awry.
Yes.
And they get out of control, and then they're going to start demanding all of your attention, which means the other lanes that are significant fail to get attention, which means they're going to spin out of control too. You see how that works? And so if you're not giving attention to your marriage, if you're not giving attention to each of your children, if you're not participating in spiritual discipline, if you miss these these elements, my work, my career, whatever it is, that which you let go of or you don't manage or you're not intentional with is going to get out of control on you.
That's right.
And so if you're a busy, preoccupied parent and you're parenting by technology and you've lost your connectivity, mom, dad, it's time to just step back and say, what are we doing here?
Well, go back to look, what are things that our family or I've done with each of my kids that represent bonding to them? So it's usually something physical. It's usually something outdoors. But find, maybe it's an old-fashioned table game or something, but find those things that represented bonding. Find a way to reintegrate some of those.
So, Greg, a lot of parents have concern about those times when their child is away from them and they've got their phone.
Right.
They want them to have phone because something happens. They want to be able to reach them, or their child needs maybe to reach mom or dad.
Sure.
They need to ride home, or there's a crisis, an emergency. Something's going on. But in those times, what do we do? How do we instruct, or how do we make sure we feel good or safe about our children having access like this? And we know what they can access online, what they can do with their phones.
Absolutely. They're away at school, and you got to realize, well, I can't really control that.
Right.
This is where the relationship's so important. This is where we're going to talk about it. And one of the things that I believe is really important is accountability. And so it's all right. You should have your kid's password to the phone. It's all right to check in. And one of the things is, if they're very, very defensive around their technology, there's
something going on. So you're saying have conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, sit down and talk with Zach or Megan, my children. Just, I know through the years, that's what we did. And we also had that accountability piece. It was, listen, if you need to look at my phone or have concern, it also helps keep me accountable. I want that in my life. Kids want structure. Some kids don't, you're right. And usually those are the ones, or those are the times to be concerned. But having that access, periodically checking up on it, is just the same as just good medicine in their life.
It is. We make it where it's not shameful, but it's just open dialogue.
Dr. Jensen, closing, I want you to encourage all of us with this whole world of technology, how it can be a blessing rather than a curse in our life. We can't just get rid of everything. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But how can we bring this all together and give me the old so what? If you only remember one thing from today's broadcast, it's this.
For those that you have a relationship with, use technology. It's a tool to build the relationship ongoingly. It's a way to say, I believe in you. It's a way to send a positive message. It's a way to say that I am praying for you. Use it to build a relationship that's already established.
So it can be a blessing.
It can be a blessing.
As long as what?
Well, we got to control the time we spend on it, so don't use it to replace relationships. Use it to enhance. One of the ways that you make it a blessing, and Tim, you gave a great example of what you do, is texting your kids, giving them a positive word, letting them know that you're praying for them. Use the technology to help enhance the relationship. That's how we're a blessing. You can use technology for great good. And remember, don't let it manage you or control you. You can take charge.
So manage it.
You manage the time.
And the Lord, the Lord help us, because if not, it will eat you up and it will hurt what was intended for good.
That's
something
right.
that was supposed to be beautiful.
And you can do this.
That's a great way to end the program today with a word of encouragement. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you've been listening to Family Talk with our host today, Dr. Tim Clinton, discussing the effects and dangers of technology with Dr. Greg Jantz. You know, one of the most startling stats was that adolescents between 11 and 18 spend more than 11 hours a day in front of a screen. What an alarming number when you consider all the things that need to be taught and experienced in those adolescent years, especially the spiritual concepts that should be introduced at that time. Well, a great resource to help you find some answers to this problem are two books that Dr. Jantz wrote. The first book is called 10 Tips for Parenting the Smartphone Generation. The second book is titled Hooked, The Pitfalls of Media, Technology, and Social Media. And we'll have a link to both of these books on our website at drjamesdobson.org. If you want to hear this program again and share it with someone you know who needs to hear it, you can access it in several ways. You'll find it on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org or at facebook.com/drjamesdobson, or download our free app and listen to this broadcast anytime it fits your schedule. I would mention at the end of the broadcast here that this program is supported by listener contributions and funds. That's a real quick way of saying we could sure use the help. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to come back next time for another edition of Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.